Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. God, it's good to see you guys. It's great to be here. We got a lot to talk about today. Annabella Ball will join us at 6:20. Have you heard of the Goombe Bash?
I've heard of it, but I...
Goombe Bash is a huge party at Navy Pier every summer, and the guys that started it, it was to raise money for cancer research at Northwestern University.
Right.
So they throw it during the summer. Instead of wearing black tie, you wear shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, nice.
And hundreds of people show up at Navy Pier, and they raise thousands of dollars. And this is their winter event. It's called Comedy for Cancer, which happens Thursday in LaGrange.
Will you be wearing a Hawaiian shirt, or do you dress up?
You know what? That's a very good question. I have to ask the people who are in charge, and maybe Annabella Ball will let me know if she's wearing Hawaiian.
She's very funny. I mean,
I've never seen her stand up. I've seen Toomey.
Yeah.
Mike Toomey's going to be there, and Pat McGann, of course, I've seen many times.
Annabella Ball does a really good stand-up routine. She's very funny.
She's got that personality, you know, where you just want to hang out with her.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Give her a big hug.
So we'll talk to her in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen her. Very good.
You've seen her stand up?
Yep.
Really?
She was on Cochran's New Year's Eve show one year.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
You know, I couldn't make that. I had that thing.
Oh, you had a thing on,
right.
On New Year's?
Well, it's at 3 in the afternoon, right?
No, it was an early show.
It's like, wait a second, I'm cleaning my garage or something. All right, it's time for the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
At number one, the weather. Some roads are still slick here in Chicago. Rain was mixed with snow last night, but the big story is the fog this morning. When you guys are driving in, did you see a lot of fog?
None.
In your windshield? Oh, I saw a ton of it.
Where did you come from?
I drove down the Kennedy.
Okay. Thank you, Jen in traffic.
Note to self, fog on Northwest Side where by Pete's car.
Ohio coming in, tons of fog.
Really?
Over the bridge.
I didn't see any, Pete. Are we?
You guys didn't see any
parallel
fog?
Universes?
Did you ride in on the Kennedy?
Yeah.
I was texting.
Interesting.
But
no,
I was
I'm
in
kidding.
The.
No, I'm joking. Completely kidding, you guys.
I was in my express lanes.
Okay.
So that could be the difference. Were you in the locals?
Yeah, I was in the locals.
Okay,
I'm a local.
See, that's
all
the
right.
difference.
Did you
hear
what I said?
Report.
My express lanes. Dave thinks the express lanes are his.
Well, there's nobody driving early in the morning.
I love
Except today, it seemed like there was a lot of traffic at 4:45 in the morning.
Huh. I think we should call those the Dave Ennett Memorial Express Lanes, even though you're alive.
Yeah, thank you for adding that.
Are you following the nor'easter out east?
A little bit.
I was in it.
Were you?
Oh, he was. Yeah.
It got
pretty
bad last Friday. They had 70-mile-an-hour winds. All that snow dropped on the East Coast.
We couldn't get out of New York till late Saturday.
Well, that's going to be a problem on Wednesday because they're expecting another major snowstorm, and they're talking about how the airlines are starting to tell people, hey, it could be delayed or canceled on Wednesday.
Mm.
The nor'easter. N-O-R.
Apostrophe.
Easter.
Easter.
All right. Thank you. Oh, we have the duck thing. That's right.
You like the duck?
At number two, I don't.
Okay.
New twist in the Russia investigation. A man who worked on President Trump's campaign is refusing to talk with special counsel Robert Mueller. Sam Nunberg, a former Trump campaign aide, became the first former Trump advisor to publicly suggest candidate Trump may have done something wrong.
Right. Up until yesterday, or maybe the day before, people were like, Sam who? He looks like Sam Waterston a little bit. Sam Nunberg.
A younger version.
A little bit, yeah. But here's the thing, though, Pete, with this. When the special counsel comes a-calling, you need to answer that call.
You have to.
You can't just decide, well, you can say no, like he's doing, but you're going to face some serious legal repercussions. You can't just say no when the special counsel says you need to testify. He's going to have to give some sort of testimony.
He was fired from the campaign for racist social media posts.
Right. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's back.
So we'll find out.
I think his exact words, he told CNN, screw that, if they asked him if he was going to testify before the grand jury.
Sorry, bud. Yeah. You're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Has anyone done their taxes yet?
Nope.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I have not done my taxes. If you have someone doing your taxes for you, you better beware. There's a new warning from the IRS. Cyber thieves are now attacking CPA firms and tax professionals. They're stealing your information. Just an FYI, my social security number was used about 4 years ago on someone else's taxes, and it's a huge pain in the butt to deal with the IRS.
Oh,
you can't just walk into the IRS and say, hey, something happened. You have to make an appointment. Right. And if you miss that day, you're going to have to wait another month.
Yeah, I know. And you can't just call.
You cannot call. They will not pick up the phone. It is a horrible experience.
It is.
And then they give you a PIN number that you have to use for years. And that is the rumor moving forward, that we're going to have to start using PIN numbers for our taxes.
I was audited about 5 years ago, and it was terrible. I save everything. Receipts of that sort.
Right, so do I.
So I went in, but I came in with a big box of all my stuff and file folders.
They love that.
I think they thought
they love it when you do that.
Right, but you can vouch for this. You walk into their offices, and all of the cubicles are kind of enclosed, and they're painted white. You can't see in. They can't see out. It's a very covert operation.
But still, I mean, cyber thieves. Sucks. I mean, it's a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Frances McDormand's Oscar was snatched off her table at the governor's ball after party. Who is such an idiot to think, with all the cameras everywhere on the planet, that you could walk out with someone's Oscar after posting a live video on Facebook?
Right.
Wow.
She got it back when?
That night.
That night, okay.
47-year-old Terry Bryant posted a video online. He did a live Facebook video. Security found the guy, chased him down, got the Oscar back to Francis, and he was charged with grand theft, could face 3 years in jail.
That's right.
So here's a guy that was probably drunk, told his friends, I'm going to grab that Oscar and I'm going to take it home. Mm-hmm. Sounded great at the time, and they threw him in jail. Here's a question for you. What would you do if you won $1 million?
Oh, God.
$1 million, first thing. What do you do?
I'd pay off my student loans.
There you go. Yeah, I think
student loans,
I'd pay off my
pay
mortgage.
Bills,
yeah.
Mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, mortgage.
Mortgage first. No one would go to Vegas with me.
Oh, I'll go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
With me. Yeah.
You take the Vegas trip and then you pay things off. Okay, you get a private jet, guys. I've already thought this out. Peter Stevenson of Yorkville won $1 million in a scratch-off lottery ticket he bought from Jewel in Lombard.
Oh,
the jewels.
He didn't believe he won. The store clerk had to say, listen, man, you won $1 million. You need to sign this thing and claim that it's yours.
A good move on behalf of the store clerk. I'd say, oh, here, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thanks. Yeah, but again, cameras everywhere. The game he played, the $1 million match.
Okay, note to self. Julian Lombard.
Scratch off. And finally, number six, back to Frances McDormand for a second. During her acceptance speech for winning Best Actress Sunday night, she said, I think this is what Chloe Kim must have felt like doing back-to-back 180s in the Olympic halfpipe. Well, 17-year-old Chloe Kim sent her a tweet and invited her to go snowboarding.
How cool. Can you see Frances McDormand snowboarding?
Sure.
That's it. Really?
How old is she? 60?
She's a little quirky, yeah.
A little quirky, but
I'd say,
why not?
Yeah, 60-ish, Frances McDormand.
But she's a young 60,
yeah,
isn't
she? She'd be a hoot.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girl.
6:23, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I forgot what it was like to work with Sandberg. She just reprimanded me off the air.
Uh-oh, what'd
you
do?
Did you not read that? Well, not really.
Uh-oh.
I will get to it, though.
Don't get us in trouble. What'd you do?
We have some guests coming in from Chicago PD and Chicago Fire at 7:20.
Oh,
and I said, I can't remember Christian's name on the show. I think it's Mooch.
I think it is, too.
She's like, that is in the second line on that piece of paper if you would have read it.
Yeah. She's got great detailed notes.
Very detailed. Very detailed. But last time I was in, nobody was here. You guys were gone. You were in Vegas. How was it?
We were in Vegas. We missed you. It was a blast. We took a couple of listeners out there. Steve renewed vows for a local couple.
Right.
It was very fun.
Heard that.
We had a really, really, really nice time.
No one loves Vegas more on the show than me. Okay? I made that clear. So next year when you go, I should tag along.
I think you should.
Right.
Absolutely. Plus, you're a minute. You're ordained.
I am.
You could.
I'm two for two.
You could renew some vows.
I am. I'm two for two.
See, that's good.
Right. They're still married.
Perfect record.
I check in once a year.
Make sure they're still married.
They got married on Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Both couples. Yeah.
I was at the one that you were married.
You're right.
Yeah,
and then I quit. right? Yeah. The day day later. Actually, that was my last show, the Valentine's show.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I forget that was your last show, but I remember the vow renewal, or the wedding, rather. We all dressed up. Anna DeVlantis and I were
the
bridesmaids.
Yeah. I wore a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Dave, were you in a tux that day?
I was not in a tux. I was in a suit, though. That was at the Hotel Baker, right?
It was. Yeah. Beautiful hotel. Yep. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, memories.
Good time.
This coming Thursday, I'm going to be hosting an event called Comedy for Cancer at the LaGrange Theater in LaGrange. Just search Comedy for Cancer on Facebook for tickets. One of the performers on Thursday nights is joining us while she's on TV this morning from WGN-TV, Anna Belaval. Anna, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to hear you on the radio.
Where are you this morning?
We are driving to Arthur Murray for Dancing with Chicago Celebrities, which, you know, I've been committed to for the last 12 years since our first year. And so every year we do a live shot from there and kind of make fun of all our colleagues that attempt to dance for a great cause. Also, cancer research, cancer services. It all started with breast cancer, but it's now the funds that have been raised to over $1 million are now used for different types of research and help when it comes to cancer, pediatric,
right.
Women's help for patients, that kind of thing. So it's a very big month for fundraising, I just noticed, because I have like three events in these 2 weeks.
Are the dancers going to be there this morning? Because John Williams from WGN Radio is dancing.
Oh, hell yeah. I got to check his new knees. He's been complaining about it.
Well, he gets the injections.
Right. So I'm thinking he's bionic now.
Wait, are there some dances that are easier than others, though, Anna?
Yes. I did the tango.
Okay.
Just because I didn't want to do salsa, because everyone expects a Puerto Rican to know how to dance salsa.
Yes.
And I was like, I'll nail the tango. It's very hard. And the hardest part of the tango was that I could not smile.
Oh, you had to be serious.
Why can't you smile?
Be serious, because it's passionate and sexy and raw and serious. It's not like, oh, I'm so quirky and fun. And so apparently that's not sexy. So I loved it. And because I have a dancing background, well, then my partner, Q, was very excited. So he pushed me to the edge. And it was a lot of fun. But it was a lot of work. These guys are really committed, but it is the fundraiser that I've had the most fun, besides the stand-up comedy ones, like the one we're doing Thursday, which I'm so excited about.
Well, I hate to admit this, but I've never seen your stand-up. I've seen Toomey, I've seen McGann many times, but I've never seen you.
I'm a little worried because Andrea was super excited, and then Dave was like, I saw her once.
I thought you were great.
I said, Dave, she was awesome. And he's like, yeah, yeah.
Well, no.
I just think Annette is afraid of me because every time I see him, I kind of harass him because he looks like a very handsome Spanish soap opera actor. And I say it every time. And he looks like, who is this creature? And why did they bring her in here? Because I'm like,
no, never. I've never felt that way.
Anna, he looks at us like that every morning, too. It's okay.
But that's different.
Okay. I sense it through the airwaves.
No, honestly.
You're very funny. I love how you put your family in your routine, too.
It's, well, when you're dysfunctional like that, we're like a sitcom, you know? My mom and dad are crazy, and so is the entire family. And then I married a Jewish guy, and I'm a Catholic Puerto Rican. So there you go.
You had me. You have me already. That's great. Anna, do you remember the last time we saw each other? It was such a random place.
At the kid's dentist.
Yeah, we were at the orthodontist, and I'm in the lobby, and, you know, you're grumpy because you got to take your kid, yeah. And you're down. Mm-hmm. Our orthodontist is downtown, and I look over, and I see Anna, and she walks up to me. Pete, it's so great to see you. I'm like, oh, I'm happy now, you know?
Oh, thank you.
It was very nice.
Thank you. I think it was the day that I showed up and the receptionist said, your appointment is tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Oh, no.
And it had taken me 35 minutes to drive downtown from Lakeview. And I looked at her, and this is the benefit of being bilingual. She's Hispanic, and in Spanish I said, if you don't get me in today, I won't bring them till February, and their teeth will fall.
Oh.
Because I just did not want to make the trip downtown. What did I do to myself? A Monday at 5 p.m.?
Right. Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. So, no, she got me in, and they're great. But it was really random. I'm like, I think that's Pete McMurray.
I was so crabby that day.
It's Pete McMurray.
I know, so was I.
Well, Thursday night, LaGrange Theater in LaGrange. I'm looking forward to it.
I am. I am like the weakest link because all of you are professionals at this, especially Toomey and McGann. I mean, McGann's playing rooms with 20,000 people. Granted, they're from Maniscalco, but he's there.
Well, here's my question. We had McGann in a few weeks ago, and he told me that I need material. And I said, no, wait a second. I get up there, I talk about the H Foundation, about their how they're raising money for cancer research for Northwestern University. This all goes to a great cause. We all have been touched with someone with cancer. And then I get off the stage and you guys are funny.
Well, you have to introduce us, don't you?
Right.
You have to say something nice about us.
What do you want me to say about you? Are you going to be first?
Ask Dave.
Ask me? I think Anna should be first, absolutely. Yeah.
I am always first because I have to get out of the way for when those guys hit the stage.
Well,
McGann has a way with the audience that is unbelievable.
He's so funny.
Mike Toomey just transforms on stage. The guy you see on WGN Morning News doing those fantastic bits is a different guy when he's on stage. And he's been performing since he was 17 years old. So it's outstanding. So I'm just there, and I'm your bilingual, bicultural moment. And everyone says, oh, yay, she's so festive. And then they allow the professionals to come up.
Festive.
I'm really excited that this is what we're doing. Unfortunately, I keep being touched by my loved ones keep being touched by cancer.
Right.
And I have firsthand experience with Northwestern because one of my best friends, J.C. Walsh, has been the beneficiary of clinical trials there to fight leukemia. Last year, she had a stem cell transplant there, and her oncologist focuses on the type of leukemia she has. And so to have that kind of care right around the corner from us, and let me tell you, the treatments that my friends and their children have gone through is hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yep.
This is not cheap medication. This is not... I mean, a visit to an ER with a healthy kid is $400. I say that because I just did that with my son. So these life-threatening illnesses also threaten the life of the entire family, not only because of the risk of losing your family member, but of losing your financial stability and your mental stability.
I agree 100%, and I have four cancer survivors in my family, and I've spent a lot of time at Northwestern, too. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Because you're like 25 children, right?
Yes. Maybe I put that in my act. I got to write some material. I'll text you later.
I'll help you.
Comedy for Cancer Thursday night, LaGrange Theater in LaGrange. Just search Comedy for Cancer on Facebook. All the information's right there on the page. Anna Bella Ball. I'll see you Thursday night. Thanks for coming on.
Bye, guys. Thank you for having me.
Bye, Anna.
She is the best. All right. Quick
She's
break,
awesome.
And then the headlines coming up next, 6:32 at 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:43, 7:20 WGN. Pete McMurray hanging out in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Steve Cochran will be back on, when is Steve back? Friday? He's golfing
Friday.
This week?
Friday.
Must be
yes.
Nice. I love the Kid of the Week because we get an ordinary kid who does extraordinary things. It's always fun to talk to the Kid of the Week, and we have the Kid of the Week on the phone with us. And it's Ellie Hanold. How do you pronounce your last
name?
Hanold. Ellie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah. Where do you go to school? You go to New Trier?
Yeah, I go to New Trier High School.
And what year?
I'm a senior.
A senior at New Trier. Gosh, you guys remember senior year in high school?
Oh,
it's just wonderful.
Is.
You were nominated by Lisa Bond. Can you tell me your relationship with her?
Yeah, I've been a part of the choir at my church since second grade, and she's been the choir director all of the years. So I've known her for a long time.
You've known her for a long time. She says you do everything. You volunteer your time. You volunteer a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do a lot.
You volunteer at Just Harvest Soup Kitchen. What is that?
It's a soup kitchen in the Chicago area that they act more like a restaurant than a regular soup kitchen. So they'll have people serving people who can't afford food and cooking it for them. And it's really fun. My family does it a lot.
I mean, would you guys have done this in high school?
No, this is amazing.
You're unbelievable. How long have you been doing that?
5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years. All through high school.
Not, consistently, though, every once in a while.
Well, good for you. And you volunteer at your church?
Yeah, I work since seventh grade. I've worked in the crib room, which is the room for babies and toddlers while their parents are in church.
Oh, that is so sweet.
It's really cute.
You know what's so cool, Ellie? Remember we had senior projects back in the day? Tell everybody what your senior project was based on. This is really neat.
Oh, my senior project's actually coming up, and I'm going to work at this place called Little Steps in Glenview that is a place for pediatric therapy. They have occupational, physical, and speech therapy for kids who were not born with all the abilities that I or someone else.
You're unbelievable. This is why I love this segment, Kid of the Week, because it makes me feel like I'm garbage and I need to do more in my life.
Yeah.
And here you are, 17 years old, and you're volunteering your time, and you've been doing this for years. Good for you. Your parents must be great role models.
Yeah.
Listen to her mom laughing in the background as she's sipping her martini at 6:46 in the morning. I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that. Tell us about school. Where are you going to college next year?
I'm not sure yet. I got into all the schools I applied to, but I'm still making the decision.
Ooh.
It's a hard choice, University of Illinois. Gotta push it, Ellie.
What are your top three?
What do you say?
What are your top three colleges for next year?
So far, I'm choosing between Dayton University,
great
St. Louis University, and Syracuse University.
Wow. Man, making it tough on your parents right there.
All of those have good special education programs, which is what I want to go into.
That's
awesome. My gosh.
You're in musicals, too. Are you going to do any theater, any recreational theater in college, maybe?
I don't know if I'm going to do it in college, but I have my last musical at New Trier this weekend.
What is it?
Once Upon a Mattress.
Oh.
Do you think in a few years people will be talking about you as one of the top graduates at New Trier like they do with the other celebrities? It's a big celebrity alumni school, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be talking about me, but...
So modest.
Didn't Charlton Heston go to New Trier? He's a New Trier graduate, right?
Who?
I love you, Ellie. I want to hug you for saying
Moses,
that.
Ellie? You ever hear of Moses?
New Trier grads.
I know Rainn Wilson went to New Trier.
Yeah, Rainn
Wilson
with her?
Ann Margaret,
yep.
Here you go. Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel's a New Trier mm-hmm. graduate? Okay. Hal
Liz
Sparks.
Liz Phair, if you know her.
Is any who?
Liz Phair.
Liz Phair,
oh,
of course.
I love her. Supernova.
Right.
I saw her at the Metro years ago.
Okay. All right. Ellie, congratulations on everything you do, and we talk to kids like you. It makes us want to do more. I mean, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And Ellie, we're going to set you up with a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and an Apt gift card just for being the Kid of the Week, okay?
Thank you.
And what time do you go to school this morning?
Any minute.
What time does school start? 7:30?
I take a class before school starts, so my class usually starts at 7:15.
Of course you do. Right.
In other words, yeah. She's got to go, Pete.
Right. Yes. All right, Ellie. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take
you
care.
Too.
How about that,
bye,
Kid
Ellie.
Of the Week?
Great.
Ellie.
There's a lot of famous alums. Michael Shannon, Hal Sparks, Lily Taylor, Rainn Wilson, as you said.
Right.
Judy Biggert.
Yeah. I hate the fact that I know that Hal Sparks went to New Trier. He used to host Talk Soup. On E.
Oh, yeah. Queer as Folk.
But he's on all those Disney shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love how you said Charlton Heston, and she said, who? Good thing you didn't tell her Rock Hudson went there, too.
Moses, the Ten Commandments are on every year, right? Right before
yeah,
Easter.
But now there's a new version.
Yeah.
Is there? They didn't redo the Ten Commandments, did they?
No, but they do every year that live, who'd they have? Was it Trisha Yearwood last year? They do some sort of live,
yes.
Which is really wonderful.
But they show the Charlton Heston version a week before on that Sunday.
They do.
I watch every year.
They do. He went to Northwestern.
Did he?
And so did Ann Margaret.
Wow, so they went to New Trier and then went to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Take your stinking paws off me. You remember that from Planet of the Apes?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Generational
good,
divide.
Pete.
Liz Phair. Moses to Liz Phair.
I know we got to check what's coming up at the top of the hour, but quick story. I was working in Rockford. If you guys remember, I was the king of Rockford back in the 90s. Charlton Heston came to Rockford to pump for someone that was running for Congress. I can't remember his name right now, but he had big glasses back in the day. Mm. But Heston came on my show. He's not that tall. When you meet these stars in real life, I'd say maybe 5'9", 5'10", but you think Moses, this guy is like 6'4". With the staff.
They parted the Red Sea.
Yeah, I saw him when they hosted Northwestern's Rose Bowl team at Universal Studios in 1995. And he was there and he did a bit for The Tonight Show with the team.
Really?
That's the only time I saw him.
He's not that tall.
I don't remember.
Okay.
That. I mean, it's been 23 years.
Maybe he wore lifts when he did played Moses back in the day. I
mean, in his sandals.
You know, when he's parting the Red Sea, he looks big.
Yes, he does look big.
Right.
Yes. That was on the Academy Awards, right? They showed that clip.
Yeah, it was.
720 WGN.
656-312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line if you'd like to text us. We were talking about Matt Forte signing a one-day deal with the Bears, and we couldn't remember if there was another Bear. There was.
And everybody remembered.
Peanut Tillman.
It was Peanut Tillman. He did it.
I don't remember that.
Well, it's been a couple of years.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't like it was last week, so.
Good old number 33. He was a great player.
And now he's like an FBI agent in training or something. Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
The congressman I was thinking of in Rockford at the time was Don Manzullo, where I met Charlton Heston at the rally, and he came on my radio show back in the day. New Trier, boy, the New Trier people are texting the show. Yeah. R.J. Melman, New Trier graduate.
Oh, sure.
Chet Kopic went to New Trier. Roy Fitzgerald went to New Trier. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Rock Hudson.
Oh, okay.
His name was Roy Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Huh. Okay.
I'm sure Ellie would be like, who?
Wow, she really got me on that Moses thing.
Yeah.
How do you not watch the Ten Commandments with your family?
She's 16.
17.
17.
But still, I got to talk to her mother. I called her mother a great role model. Now, look what happened.
Yeah, but, you know.
She also said she was drinking a martini at 6:45.
Yeah,
I'm
sure. I did say that. I apologize.
She's going to be right.
Yeah. She's not taking your call.
Which sounds pretty good right about now.
Ellie's done more in her life at 16 than, like, all of us combined.
I am such a piece of garbage. I got to get my life in order. Congressman Raja coming up after the top of the hour. If you follow him on Twitter, he's a great follow on Twitter. He sent something out last week from the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods that we're going to talk about after 7. I thought it was really great. And also, we'll have some stars from Chicago PD and Chicago Fire in studio at 7:40. They have the crossover episode, which starts tonight, right?
Yes.
And tomorrow night. If it's a crossover, PD, it's tonight, right?
PD into fire, fire into PD.
I feel like everything that's coming out of my mouth today, Joe Romano, our producer, he's looking at me like, what are you doing?
I know.
Why are you here?
He's going 3 more hours.
Where's Justin Kaufman? Let's get him back here. McMurray? What is this? He comes in once a month. All right. Quick break. Top of the hour news. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back on Friday doing some golfing this week, taking some well-deserved time off. On the phone with us, I love having this guy on the show because we have a Peoria connection. He is the congressman out of the 8th District. His father is a professor at my alma mater, Bradley University, so he gets down to Peoria like myself. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy. Raja, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you? Good morning.
First of all, you're an immigrant. You were born in India, right?
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, the DACA agreement or the Dreamers Act expired. What are we doing? What happens now?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. So the issue is that, you know, the March 5th deadline was the administration's original deadline to no longer accept basically DACA renewal applications. And so over the course of the last several months, people have been losing their status. However, some court cases were filed on the West Coast and the East Coast, and the lower courts essentially issued an injunction against the administration, in essence, mandating that they allow renewal applications. So basically, Dreamers and DACA recipients are in this no man's land right now where they are allowed to continue to renew their applications provided that they are already DACA recipients. However, no new applications can be filed, and that's kind of where we stand right now. In Congress, the deadline came and went, and nothing happened. As you know, I've been strenuously calling for a solution on this issue.
Right.
The Dreamers have been waiting, and you know, they're just some of the finest people you'll meet. They've known no other country other than the United States as home. They were brought here very young, and they are, for the most part, working or in school, mm-hmm. and they are in the armed forces serving our country.
Roger, they're in a holding pattern right now, no question at all. But I know a lot of people are fearful that INA is going to show up at their doorstep and be deported. Is that a legit fear right now, or can they kind of be somewhat comfortable in this holding pattern until there is some sort of a resolution to this?
Honestly, I can't give any assurances on this, and I don't think anybody can. If you are a DACA recipient, certainly if you lost status, and you are basically without any protection, legal protection, the director of ICE, the acting director of ICE, said that he will not give any assurances against deportation. In that kind of situation, unfortunately, people are just fearful. I mean, you can imagine what they're going through right now. And I've met with so many of them, and I got to say, just their demeanor is strong, but underneath, you can tell that there's a lot of fear.
Well, I'm sure. 43,000 people are protected by DACA in Illinois.
Yes.
I heard that yesterday.
Yes.
So every 2 years, they still have to renew. But, of course, you can't live in fear.
Right.
I mean, there has to be a resolution sometime soon. You just can't.
Yes.
I follow you.
Can I just say one thing about them? It not only is it the right thing to do, the morally right thing to do, to give them a pathway to be, a permanent part of our American fabric, but, it's the economically right thing to do. I mean, these people are our employees. They're our customers. They're going to be paying the taxes that, help to fund, Social Security and Medicare in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our economic best interests to have them stay,
right,
and to give certainty about their status. So I'm disappointed, to say the least, about what's going on right now.
We're talking to Congressman Raja. Now, I follow you on Twitter. You posted a letter from Dick's Sporting Goods CEO Ed Stack on why Dick's chose not to carry assault-style weapons in Dick's and their sister store Field & Stream. I read the entire letter, and I thought it was fantastic. What are your thoughts on that, and why haven't we done anything? The Parkland kids are keeping it alive.
Yes,
I feel like it would have died by now if it wasn't for them. What are we doing moving forward?
Yes, sir. Thanks for bringing up Ed Stack's letter. I found it to be very moving. You should know that he is no liberal Democrat. He's a Republican, and he has basically taken this step as a move of conscience. I spoke to him yesterday, and basically he said, after Parkland, we can't keep doing the same thing that we've been doing before. And so he took some very common sense steps. For instance, he no longer sells assault-style rifles and large-capacity magazines. He doesn't sell guns or ammo to anyone under the age of 21.
It seems like a no-brainer.
Yes, sir. And he's asked Congress to take similar steps. The Parkland shooting, I think, has really affected people on both sides, and you're seeing efforts even in Florida, which is a place that has not been known for gun restrictions, to potentially pass some far-reaching restrictions this week. However, and this is the key point, Speaker Ryan and Mitch McConnell need to bring to the floor of the House and the Senate, some of the restrictions or common sense measures that people on both sides of the aisle want. For instance, universal background checks. They want to raise the minimum age of purchase. I have a bill that's called a 3-day waiting bill for the purchase of handguns. This is something that has scientifically been shown to reduce homicides and suicides, especially in crimes of passion. And so I'd like to see that move as well. So I hope that we can do it. I think that the president said some of the right things on this particular issue. I hope that he can press Congress to act as well.
Raja, you're inside the chamber, so you're hearing and seeing things that we are not. So my question to you, is Congress listening on both sides of the aisle? I mean, we're talking about this nonstop, about the, especially the Parkland students. I don't even want to say kids, because they're so fluent and they're so well-versed, and they really want to create this movement. So is Congress listening? Do they hear them?
I think so. You know, those Parkland students, they came to Capitol Hill. They are not political people, and that's a good thing. They really speak with simplicity, and you know, they're so articulate that you and passionate, you can't but help be touched by them, and I think that's true on both sides. I'll just give you one example. One of my friends and a colleague, Republican Congressman Brian Mast of Florida, he's a veteran, he's a war hero. He lost his legs in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he has basically called for a ban on the sales of assault-style rifles going forward. And basically, I hope that you know, Speaker Ryan listens to people like Brian Mast and others who speak from a place of, you know, they deep respect for the Second Amendment, but also respect for the need for some common sense gun measures right now.
Well, after the Vegas shootings, we all talked about why haven't bump stocks been outlawed. What is the update with that?
You know, I have to say, this is one of those things that just makes you scratch your head. Again, Dick's Sporting Goods, Walmart, Kroger, these other large retailers banned bump stocks, banned the sale of bump stocks or stopped selling these bump stocks. These bump stocks, for your listeners, are basically plastic accessories that enable a semi-automatic weapon to be transformed into a machine gun.
Yep.
A machine gun.
Yep.
Okay? This is the biggest no-brainer ever to ban the sales of these things to the public. And right after Las Vegas happened, you know, I heard a lot of good sentiments from the president and even the speaker, Speaker Ryan, about passing this bill. Believe it or not, there was an introduction of this bill by a Republican right after Las Vegas. And then, unfortunately, the NRA put a brick on it. It's going nowhere. I don't. This is just one of those things that drives you mad, because it's something that if it came to the floor, it would pass with a resounding majority.
Right.
And so this is really discouraging, to say the least.
We got to keep talking about it so we can keep it on the forefront. Congressman, when are we going to see each other in Peoria?
Oh, I'm actually going there later this month. You know, one thing that I've been talking about with my friend Republican Darren LaHood is we're thinking about putting on like a civility seminar down at Bradley University, which, as you said, my father's taught at for 40 years, including now, and just kind of a seminar to talk about, you know, how do we, you know, engage in dialogue and in respectful, dignified ways to try to move public policy forward. And as you know, the LaHood family and his father was known for this. And, you know, we are thinking about kind of reviving this and doing it down in Peoria first. And who knows, maybe we can take it other places. But he and I really work well together.
Darren is my cousin, and he does those town hall meetings where people just show up and they're angry and they want to yell at him. Uh-huh. And he'll sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just let people voice their concerns. He is such a calming presence, as you know, and, you know, 6'2", 6'3". He's a big guy, but yes, I agree. We need more of that. I mean, he's a Republican from downstate. You're a Democrat from the 8th district. We need to see more of that in this state.
Yeah.
You know, I went down for a kind of a thank you reception to Peoria after I got elected, and Darren showed up and kind of almost co-hosted it. And we kind of had a little bit of a seminar then, just talking to people about what was on our minds. And look, we're not going to agree on some issues, but I really believe that, you know, if we can identify those key areas, even if they're one or two or three areas where we can work together, let's start on those. shows, and then let's, you know, maybe we can build some trust and work on those other issues on another day. And that's kind of the approach I'm trying to bring, and I'm happy that I have some willing partners as well.
You're the best, man. Great to talk to you. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Andrea. Have a great day.
Thanks, Raja.
Take care. Congressman Raja. Makes sense.
Great. Yep.
He wants to work with people. I
Absolutely
like that.
Absolutely he does. I mean, as he said, the Republican lawmaker introduced that bill after Vegas.
Right.
And it just died.
How are bump stocks not
I don't know.
Illegal?
And assault weapons only for law enforcement.
Crazy.
And the military.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, 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 hey. A Peoria boy from Central IL left his caterpillar home and the dead fish smell. A UB grad, hey, go Bradley Braves, seeking fortune and fame on the radio airwaves. His name is Pete McMurray. Don't you know? He's on the radio, drilling in that GM, and we're so glad that he's back here again. Just a matter of time till he has his own show. But Cochran's alive and still breathing. He was on the air at KQX and then to LUP, where he went to next. Another show on to CKG, and a very quick stop at the DRV. Emmy winner Pete McMurray. What? I didn't know. He's on the radio in the Allstate studio. First one they call for shows at 720. But every other host is afraid to fall asleep, 'cause Pete has a box of my pillows.
Pete knows the McMurray way.
With a dozen kids, you can do the math. Everyone plus mom and dad share one bath.
But Pete will now surely stay,
because he's really good. Every place he's been, he's a perfect voice on WGN.
Asked me nice to write him this song. Like the others on the show, he just needed to belong. It's a simple fact, he's a really great host, and I only write these songs for those that I love the most. It's kind of pathetic, don't you think? That little Pete McMurray needs a shrink.
He's on the radio, right back here at GN. And we all want him back here full time again. So come on, Todd, don't say maybe, say when. And bring back producer Scott Miller.
That is just fantastic.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've been asking John DeCoss, who I absolutely love, to write me a song for 2 years. It's been an ongoing joke.
Wow, that's adorable.
And he finally did it. He called me about a month ago. He said, who are your favorite artists? I said, anything upbeat, rock and roll. Of course, he didn't listen to me.
Yeah, right.
But,
he made it.
Yeah. He nailed it.
You asked him for a song?
Yes.
Ooh. Wow.
I asked him for a song.
Whoa.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
You guys don't have a song?
Saying.
No, we have.
No, we do.
I have two.
We didn't ask.
You have two?
I have two.
Wait a second. You have two, and it took me this long to get one song from DeCoss?
I have two too, but he doesn't. They don't. We don't play ours.
We don't play ours
anymore.
I think I have two also.
What?
Yeah.
Everybody has songs.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah. I have a Traffic Jam. Jen's All Right.
From John?
From John DeCoss?
No, no.
Oh, no. It's got to be
you guys
John
all
DeCoss.
Have John.
Yeah,
oh,
that, yeah. Doesn't, that doesn't
no,
count.
No, no, no.
It's got to be
no
DeCoss.
No other song is a
yeah.
song.
You can have one of mine.
Well, cool. It doesn't work.
You
I'm not
what?
Dave Innit.
I'll give you one of mine, too, and then that way you'll have like half of Dave's, half of mine. It'll be like y'all yours.
There you go.
thanks to John DeCoste. That was just wonderful.
Was
I like how he went through the laundry list of radio stations that I worked at here in Chicago.
It was kind of your life story.
It really was.
Yeah, it was. Song.
I mean, you almost saw a tear. Right here.
Oh, you looked emotional.
You were going to bawl.
So, John, thank you for that. I know you're listening right now, and I love you. Yes. Joe was crying in the producer's booth. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he went through the laundry list.
He was crying because you're late.
Yeah, had nothing to do with that.
He went through the laundry list of radio stations. Mm-hmm. The Loop was sold yesterday to a Christian station. That's no longer.
Yeah.
Wow. Think of all the alumni that went through the Loop. Mm. I went through twice.
Did you?
Yeah.
I never went through.
No, me neither.
Never worked at the Loop.
Romano, did you? Were you over there?
Nope.
You were with Johnny here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the only Loop alumni here?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank God I got out. Now I'd be Christian.
Yeah.
I'd be saying a lot of prayers today.
John read another song.
There is a crossover episode, actually episodes, coming up in Chicago PD and Chicago Fire. Trudy and Mouch will be in studio.
Cool, yes.
I love Trudy.
I love
Amy
show.
Morton is such a great actress, mm-hmm. and Christian always looks like he's about ready to rip your head off. You know, he's got that look. So we'll bring them in studio in about 7 minutes. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
743, Chicago PD and Chicago Fire are doing crossover episodes. Joining us in studio from Chicago PD, she plays Trudy, it's Amy Morton. And from Chicago Fire, Mouch, it's Chris Stolte. Thanks for coming in, guys. It's great to see you.
Our Thanks pleasure. For having us.
Do you guys get this a lot in Chicago? I know you from that show. Oh my God, I know you. You get that a lot?
Yeah. Quite often, yeah.
I think what I get that a lot of the people from my show don't get, because they look like they should be on television. I work with a lot of supernaturally beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I get is, did I used to work with you? Did you drive a truck for Dominic's?
Did you?
Never.
No, okay.
Now, Amy, you grew up in Oak Park, right?
Yeah.
So it's fun to do television in your
Absolutely.
City, of course.
You know, as an actor, you rarely get a job in your hometown. So it's pretty amazing to be here in our fifth year. And
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's pretty great.
And Chris, you grew up in St. Louis, but you lived in Chicago, right?
28 years now, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you're a resident here.
Sure.
I mean, does it bother you thinking, okay, are we going to get picked up by NBC? I don't want to move. That's got to be in the back of your mind all the time.
Well, I never moved. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a homebody, so I've lived in Chicago. I mean, my first apartment in Chicago was when I was 18 in Wrigleyville. So I've lived in pretty much every neighborhood, and I'll go out to look for work, but I don't move.
I'll
go
good
to
for
LA
you.
Or New York to. I just can't do it.
I'm the exact same. So
That's
if
awesome.
If the show, if and when. The show ends, it's not going to mean that I'm moving to LA or anything like that. I've got one daughter who just started high school at Evanston Township, so
okay.
I'm at least sticking it out till she's finished there. But I think there was more panic for me in the first couple of seasons of how long, because it was too good to be true,
right?
Therefore, it had to end mm-hmm. soon. And now I'm six seasons in, and I'm a little more, you know, I couldn't be happier about what has, you know, this very unlikely turn of events of chronic employment.
I know.
So if it ended at the end of the season, which I don't believe it will, I would feel like I got quite a run.
We still get giddy. Don't you guys see? Well, we were talking a little bit off the air that when you're filming in a neighborhood or South Loop or West Side or wherever you are, people stop and look, and most people think it's cool. It's kind of a neat reaction to have.
Oh, yeah, probably they don't get a lot of that in L.A.
Yeah.
There's no novelty to
LA
it.
L.A. people are just odd, aren't they? They're always looking over your shoulder for somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah,
right, I noticed that you were looking over my shoulder when I said that.
Somebody
said
it.
Can we talk about the Godfather, Dick Wolf? Here's a guy that brought all these shows to Chicago. Do you get to see him? Is he ever on set? I know he doesn't come to town that often.
He pops in once in a while.
Usually about three times a year. He'll be on set. Yeah.
And take everyone out to a grand dinner at the
I would see the pictures
like
on
that.
Social media. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. So he very much, though, keeps track from afar.
Oh, yeah.
But why Chicago for all these shows? He just keeps churning them out.
Well, I can tell you that when they started with Fire, they had the option to place it pretty much anywhere. And I think Chicago Fire already has a familiar ring to it.
Yeah.
And there was something they liked about having all of the different seasons, getting it out of the L.A. You know, and this, it's a beautiful city, of course, as a backdrop for a drama like ours. And then we have the very charismatic Steve Chikorotis, a recent retired fire chief, who is our tech advisor, story advisor.
What a great gig.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's the best you could possibly get. But he sort of took them on a tour that I think may have been the big convincer, and landed us at the firehouse where we shoot our exteriors down at Blue Island, Racine, and 14th Street.
By Pilsen, in Pilsen area.
A little west of there.
I absolutely love it. And I love the fact that NBC is behind it, like you said, because they show your promos all the time. As long as your promos are running, you're thinking, okay, we're going to get renewed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is good. Look, you're both smiling. It's like, yeah.
Well, and I'm not a guy that would ordinarily tune into ratings, but I kind of keep an eye on it now, and we tend to win our hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we're holding our own.
You're used to this weather and whatnot, but how did you explain to your coworkers in the early season, maybe the first seasons of your shows, okay, some days it's 60 and sunny and we're in flip-flops, and the next day there's a blizzard?
Our first season on PD was the polar vortex.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. There was no explaining necessary.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Right. Welcome to Chicago.
There it is. Right. Thanks.
It cost us some people. Yeah, some people, you know, they tend to come from L.A., to do a stint on our show, and some people, that was the deal breaker. I'm not doing this to myself for an extended period of time, and they're out of here.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, when you look at me, do you say, wow, that guy looks like Taylor Kinney?
How do you mean? Oh, when I see you? Yeah, it's a passing resemblance.
A little bit. I mean, sure. Amy's like, what
Good
are
job,
you talking
Amy.
About? That joke kind of fell flat.
No, but I took a second to catch up to what you were
asking. Yes, exactly.
But no,
we did too, Chris.
I wouldn't mistake you for him, but if you showed up and someone told me that's Taylor's brother, I'd buy it.
If someone told me to say you look like him, okay. I would say it.
I did.
She'd say it.
Thank you for that.
She's a trained actress.
Amy Morton and Chris Stolte in studio, Chicago PD and Chicago Fire, doing crossover episodes. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
/7:54 in studio with us, Amy Morton and Chris Stolte from Chicago PD and Chicago Fire crossover episodes. Amy, do you want to tell us about it?
Okay. It is a huge event happens. We'll say explosion. And this is what happens during and before, during, and after the explosion to particularly my character to a certain extent.
Really?
Yeah, something happens.
Uh-oh. Did you get nervous when you read the script? Oh, my God, I hope I don't get killed off.
No, I knew I didn't get killed off. I was just like, God, I hope that day isn't going to suck too bad.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I mean? Those are long, arduous, you're working with real fire and smoke and stuff like that. So you're just like, okay, I better get a lot of sleep. And
how many real firemen are behind the scenes because you're having a fire? You got to have real firemen there.
Virtually all of our background firefighters are real firefighters.
Really?
And we've got a cast member, Tony Ferraris, who drives our squad, who is a real squad firefighter for the CFD.
Wow.
So he's constantly having to trade shifts and whatever to accommodate his shooting schedule because he's still active.
Wow. And many of our background is actual Chicago cops.
That's really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Sure.
So you're employing the city too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides putting on a TV show.
Oh, and it's great for us because we have a pretty good sized ensemble. And we have plenty of background firefighters. So if you're on a scene and you're doing something that's a little different than what you've usually done, and you can just turn to somebody and say, how would you carry these two tools in tandem, or which one of these would you bring into the situation?
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
There's always someone to answer your questions.
That's cool. We as the viewers love the crossover episodes. Do you as actors enjoy that as well?
Very much so. Because,
oh,
you know, you get to work with different people and see how their episodes run, and work with different directors and different crews. And usually if it's a crossover, it's a big event. I mean, you know, something huge happens. So that's
right.
Always exciting.
I find that I'm treated better on the other shows than I am on my own show.
Right. That is hilarious.
They act like they're pleased to have you.
They call you
I don't get that, ma'am.
Yeah.
Chris and Amy, the three of us starred on the same Chicago series, not at the same time. Do you know what show that was?
I'm going to guess Early Edition.
Not me. I'm going to guess Boss.
It was ER.
ER.
Oh,
Amy,
wow.
Amy, you played Mrs. Walters.
Wow.
Chris, you played the driver.
I was a surly construction truck driver or something like that.
Wow. And what'd you play?
I played the man who was stunned when Sally Field ran through a plate glass door on Rush Street.
A.K.A. Jim. I think the character was named Jim.
Yeah.
We call him man number three.
Yes, man number three.
You used the word starred with very loosely.
Yes. I think he knew
very
what he was doing.
I thought I was going to get nominated for that role, unfortunately.
For an Emmy.
Yes. Yeah. They didn't cut me out. I was in the show. But you mentioned Boss, which I thought was a great series with Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic, about the Chicago mayor and the exteriors.
It was some of the best television writing I'd ever worked on.
What happened with that show? We loved it.
Well, you know, this was... the network Starz first, as in STARZ, that network Starz.
Oh, yeah.
This
okay.
was their first attempt at original programming.
Right.
And they were charging the same amount as you would to subscribe to HBO, but they didn't have the same content.
Mm.
So I think our viewership was too low to have it continue. But for the two seasons it ran, I thought it was really, really brilliant.
I thought it was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And everybody in it. And what was great is there were so many Chicago actors in it with such huge parts.
Yep, yep.
It was so much fun. It was such a good show.
Is it because we enjoyed it so much because you got a peek into the mayor's office and it's like, oh my God, I feel like that really happened? Because that's the way we
also
thought.
And it's also, I mean, it's literally Shakespearean, that story. It's very much Lear and sort of the Scottish
And they were
play,
willing to make it as dark as House of Cards makes the presidency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you nailed it on that one.
I missed that show.
It was so good.
It was very good. Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
Our pleasure.
Our pleasure.
The Chicago PD and Chicago Fire crossover episodes, Amy Morton and Chris Stolte. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys soon.
Okay.
Quick break. Top of the hour news at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
8:13, let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN-TV.
Howdy.
Dean, I was following you on Twitter on Sunday night during the Oscars. Loved it. Good job.
Thank you. It was, I enjoyed the show a lot. I mean, people are nitpicking it to death right now, as is the case after every award show.
Right.
And the ratings are way down. The ratings are 20% lower than they were last year. That's a lot. Television ratings for big TV events are declining lately, and no one's 100% sure why. The Super Bowl was down, the Olympics were down, the Grammys, the Golden Globes, which traditionally delivered huge audiences. Now, 26.5 million people watching is nothing to sneeze at.
It's still pretty impressive.
It's still a large audience, but it is down from previous audiences. That's not counting the audiences in the 225 other countries around the world that were also watching the Oscars. But, you know, people are speculating that it's because the movies that were nominated were not huge blockbusters.
Yeah.
You know, it might have made a big difference if Wonder Woman was one of the big movies, or Avengers, or, you know, the ones that were some of the biggest box office movies of the year, instead of what are, you know, art movies that, you know, movie people will say are the fine, the best movies of the year, you know, and would argue that, you know. But you've got Shape of Water and Call Me by Your Name, and, you know, even Get Out, which did phenomenally well, still compared to some of the big blockbusters, not as many fans of those movies as there are of some of the big ones. Some people are saying it's because there are so many other viewing options right now on online platforms, and that people are watching those now. Other people are saying, you know, the political and social commentary that's part of these shows, that they don't want to, you know, be lectured to.
And they're tired of it,
stars.
Sure.
People say that they're tired of that. Interestingly, I know you'll find this shocking. President Trump has tweeted about this very subject.
Really?
Oh, no.
I can't wait to hear. I missed it.
The president tweeted this morning, lowest rated Oscars in history. Problem is, we don't have stars anymore, except your president. And then in parentheses, just kidding, of course.
Yeah, Dean, really? I thought you were going to say he was commenting on the fact that North Korea and South Korea are going to actually hold talks or something to do.
No, okay. Why would he do that?
Get your priorities straight, Andrea.
I'm sorry,
will
Dean.
You? Get your priorities straight.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Can we talk about The Shape of Water for a second?
Yeah.
Is that an old Land of the Lost episode? Was that Holly making out with the slee stack? I haven't seen the movie. I don't know if I will, but it just doesn't interest me.
It is. It's a movie about a woman who is not able to speak.
Right.
Who feels like an outsider, who falls in love with this sea creature that's been captured.
Wow.
Who also obviously is an outsider, and they form a bond. It's on the surface a really weird movie about a woman who falls in love with a sea creature.
Mm-hmm.
You dig a little deeper into the story, it is a story about unconditional. It's a Beauty and the Beast story.
Yeah,
it's an unconditional love story. So.
My only problem, Dean, the most unbelievable thing I thought was, you know, would he really fall for her because she gave him an egg?
Did you see the movie?
Like, I did.
I think I'm going to have to pass on this one. I think I'm going to.
It was very beautifully made.
It's a beautiful movie. Yeah.
Dean, no one is talking about the House of Cards promo towards the end of the show. Has anyone mentioned that?
I did.
Yeah. Did you?
Uh-huh. I ran it yesterday. I showed it on TV yesterday.
Wow.
We had that during the Oscars. We had first trailer for the new Mary Poppins movie that ran during the Oscars.
I missed that.
And a first look at the reboot of Roseanne during the Oscars also.
I saw that. Okay.
Turns out in her new series, she falls in love with the sea creature. I don't want to say they're capitalized.
Why watch now?
Big news this morning. I'm an alumni of The Loop. I worked there twice. I did two stints.
Yeah, where Chicago rocks.
Yeah, not for years.
Dean, were you ever there?
No. only when I was on Pete's show.
Was that at The Loop or was that at CKG?
Oh, I think it was CKG.
It was CKG.
I think it was.
Yeah. Because we were pumping, what was it, Bozo and Ray.
Bozo, Gar, and Ray.
Bozo, Gar, and Ray.
Because I love Dean. I've seen him on TV for years. I'm I got to get this guy on my show
Bozo
before we really
in
knew
love
each
with
other.
A sea creature.
Right.
The Loop has been sold to a contemporary Christian broadcasting company. It's going to be the end of rock and roll on 97.9 after 40 years. Truly one of the most legendary radio stations in the history of Chicago, with Pete and Johnny B and Stephen Gary and Disco Demolition and Kevin Matthews and Sky Daniels, and I mean, go down the list of legendary personalities. Joey Bag of Donuts, who was their TV icon for a long time, the Loop Girl, Lorelei. It's a major part of Chicago radio history that apparently is going to be sold, and it's going to become a contemporary Christian radio station.
But everything you mentioned was pre-1996, besides me.
Right.
I mean, it hasn't done anything in years, so it was time.
I guess.
Yeah.
Radio is cyclical.
You're right. It'll come back around. Something will happen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And back to the Oscars for a second. If you wanted to take a picture with an Oscar statue,
yeah.
wouldn't you just say, hey, can I borrow that and do a picture or a video on Facebook?
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't even do that. That's too presumptuous. But.
And it's Frances McDormand. She's so, I think, would be willing to say, yeah, I'll pose for a selfie with you.
Sure.
But she sets it down on a table at one of the post parties. And this guy, who apparently is famous for stealing statues at these post parties, snatches the statue, posts the whole thing. He videos it and puts it on Facebook.
Right, Facebook Live.
But somebody noticed it, called the cops. They got the statue back. The guy's been arrested. Pretty nuts.
Jeez.
And charged with grand theft, right?
Grand theft.
Idiot.
Yep.
Wow. All right, I know you got to run, man. Good to talk to you.
I will be in your seat tomorrow.
I'm keeping it warm.
Be filling in for Steve tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be there for the whole show.
We'll see you
Listen
then,
anyway.
So do I do your entertainment segment? I'll be on a date.
Do you want to call in and do entertainment?
I would love to.
I would love that.
You should do that. That'd be fun.
Okay. Thanks, Dean.
All right, bud.
You guys can talk about The Shape of Water.
Oh, my gosh. I'm watching that.
Is Dean gone?
He's gone.
Oh, I hated that movie.
I had no idea what that movie was about, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like an episode of The Land of the Lost. Is that Holly and Fleestack?
Yeah, I'm open-minded. I didn't see it. I didn't see the chemistry. I feel even weird talking about the chemistry between a woman and a...
They won everything. What does that tell you?
They just won four. I mean, that's a bad thing. But.
Yeah, but Best Picture.
Ugh. Best Picture, Best Director.
Is that really the Best Picture?
No.
No,
I liked Ebbing much better.
I love that director guy.
Guillermo.
Yeah, Guillermo, sure.
Yeah.
He had some great speeches.
I don't know. I just didn't see it.
I don't know.
It was pretty
good. I will never watch that movie.
I wouldn't.
No. Even if it's on cable and it's 1:30 in the morning and I can't sleep and I'm surfing the channels, no.
No, there were so many other better movies.
Not going
to
happen.
I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I like Wonder Woman better.
Boy, she's hot.
Yes,
Gal Gadot?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot.
One more thing about the Oscars. Allison Janney. How likable is she?
Oh, my God. Is she cool?
She's
one of my favorite parts was when she got up and said, I did it all myself.
I love her. I loved her in West Wing. I love her in every... She's such a great actress.
Yeah, she is.
And I haven't seen that movie yet. I, Tanya.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I know. That's what everybody...
Great movie.
And it's... you've seen it?
Yeah.
Dave Filoni, a long time ago. Screener and then get kicked out of SAG.
You get screeners? I used to get screeners. SAG doesn't send me screeners anymore.
Why? Are you paid up?
Yeah.
You should get your screeners.
But, I am paid up.
But nobody lends those to anybody.
Nobody does that at all.
I did.
Nope.
I gave mine away.
Well, nope. That's problem.
To my brothers.
Telling Chicago police.
Okay. All right. Let's you have her speech? Okay. Here it is.
I did it all by myself. Okay, nothing further from the truth. Thank you to the Academy. My fellow nominees, you represent everything that is good and right and human about this profession. You are all extraordinary.
Okay.
Stephen Rogers, look what you did.
She's great.
She's excellent.
And I hated the fact that people pulled out their notes, too. That drives me crazy.
And
if you're going to win, just memorize a few people that you want to thank and tell me a story.
Yeah.
Like Sam Rockwell. My dad picked me up from school.
But he pulled out a note piece of paper.
He did. That bothered me.
Just pull out a tiny little, if you can't write it on a gum wrapper, then I don't think you should be.
You can memorize movie lines. You can memorize your speech for the Academy Awards.
That's a good point.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because if you pull out paper, it's like you expected to win.
Right.
Even though they were all shoo-ins.
And Sam Rockwell pulled out a piece of notebook paper. Like he tore it out of his kid's notebook.
Like a legal pad.
Hold on a second. Anybody have a pencil? Yes.
And then everyone in the audience is going, oh, God, it's already long enough, this show.
that was the first award.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
If you're watching online, we have a keg in studio. I don't know if you noticed that right by Andrea.
It's like a little keg.
Yes. It's called the Growler Works U-Keg.
Oh.
It keeps beer fresh and carbonated for 2 weeks or more.
Really?
Yes.
Are you giving this away? Or
How big would
yours?
You say? We're going to give it away in a second. How big would you say? A foot and a half?
Yeah, I would think
16 inches, maybe?
Yeah, maybe about 16 inches.
It's chrome. It's got black on it. It's got a beer tapper on the front.
Wait a minute. I need to give this
and
to
it's
the
stainless,
to the rightful
stainless
person
steel. Dave Bennett, you want to hold that up?
I will be glad to hold
it's
this
like holding
up.
The baby for him.
The U-Keg is the perfect gift for beer lovers. You can go to Growler, G-R-O-W-L-E-R, Works, W-E-R-K-S, growlerworks.com for details. Or we'll do caller number 7 right now at 312-981-7200. How about that?
People dialing in already.
This is
very
a great
cool
gift. Dave, you,
very
cool. You take that at your house.
Dave, you can't
sure
win. You
but
can't
I can't
win.
I'm
fresh
not,
and carbonated for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Keep that puppy in your garage, man. Is that your man cave? Do you drink in your garage?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Do you have a man cave?
Not, well, I have a basement.
Oh. Do you have a man cave?
I drink in my garage. My neighbors, we open our garage doors and everybody's really hanging out. I mean, I live
that's
in the city, so you got the alleys, so people open their garage and they're facing each other.
That's fun for the neighbors.
Right.
Yeah, hey, yeah, we get a unit over to McMurray's.
We put our cars in our garage.
Interesting. I got to think about that.
So does Pete.
Idea.
Yeah. I don't have anything in the house. I have my garage, and I'm good with that. Yeah, keep my stuff out there.
There you go.
Yeah,
you never invited us over.
Yeah, we never got to eat.
We got
flour.
A cop in studio coming up right after bottom of the hour news. I thought I was going to get arrested when she walked in the studio.
She's a top cop. She could arrest you.
She is a top cop. She is from Aurora. We'll explain in detail coming up next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
841, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Golfing this week. Steve will be back on Friday. Our next guest is described as a bad ass, according to Darlis.
Wow. Me? Yeah. Badass.
I have so much respect for first responders, but I have even more respect for working mothers. She is the very first female police chief in Aurora history. In studio with us is Kristen Zeman. Thank you for coming in. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And happy birthday, Chicago.
How about that?
From the entire A-Town.
Oh, there you go.
You left last night to drive into the city?
Yes, I did. It, okay. Yeah, 12 miles an hour, right. Bumper to bumper. It was fine. No road rage.
How many kids do you have?
I have four.
Yes. Four kids?
Two stepchildren and two of my own.
Oh, my
gosh. But the last one is a senior in high school, so I almost have them kicked out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're almost an empty nester.
Almost.
This is nice.
Mm-hmm.
First police chief, female police chief in Aurora history.
Yes, sir. Yes. Proud to be there.
Where does this come from? Your parents, were they cops?
You know, well, I'm born and raised in Aurora. I've never left there. So, and I've always wanted to be a police officer, as my father was. So I had that bug in me, and I could never see myself sitting in an office. And yes, I see the irony there now, because that's what I do, sit in an office. But police work is awesome because it's different every day. There's always something new and exciting. It's never the same day twice. So I fell in love with the profession.
9/11, obviously a game changer for everybody, and you're pursuing higher education with Homeland Security background. It's got to be an interesting
I am
pursuit.
You know, well, we have this idea that terrorist attacks happen everywhere else, and so one of the things I wanted to do was educate myself as police chief and how to protect our city. So yes, I'm attending the Naval Postgraduate School and getting a second master's degree in Homeland Security and Defense, and in the hopes that I can bring back some education to our city and pass it on to our police officers so we can make our city safer for our citizens.
I think when we all go out now, our radar's up, especially in large groups. You as the police chief, I mean, your radar has to be up at all times.
Always. Yeah, we call that condition yellow. Most people are walking around in condition white, and that's a cop term where you're really not paying attention to your surroundings. But now, I mean, police officers are always like that, but even more so now. And so is the general public, unfortunately. It's a sad state of affairs.
We've had a rough 2 weeks. Commander Bauer, your first thoughts when you heard that?
Anytime. I mean, first of all, I mean, especially command level, and to have someone who's, still got their boots on the ground, that's
right,
answering the call. What a commendable thing. And, you know, I'll tell you, every police officer that puts a uniform on doesn't know if they're going to go home at the end of the day, and that's what they sign up to do. I didn't know him personally, but that didn't matter because he's one of us. I mean, anytime, someone loses their life in the line of duty, it is the ultimate sacrifice, and I have nothing but respect. There was a lot of sadness even in our police department. You feel that ripple effect, and we sent a team of police officers who, on their own volition, actually wanted to go to the funeral and pay their respects, but it hurts us all.
I think all of Chicago felt that. I mean, I felt a sense of sadness, and I thought about it for a second. Should I go down there and pay my respects?
Right,
but,
right.
You know, watched it on TV.
There was a great story Channel 9 did as well with all of the first responders from all over the country coming. And as you say, Kristen, too, there were some folks from London who came in. People from all over the world.
Yeah, NYPD was there. Some colleagues of mine from all over, were sending pictures and saying that they were here to pay their respects. So it is. It's a ripple effect through our profession. It really takes a toll on everyone.
Do you see more people? I see this more and more now, people saying thank you, which they always should have. But do more people thank you?
Yeah, it's an ebb and flow. As you mentioned, 9/11. After 9/11, there was we felt that. We felt the warmth of everyone. Then, of course, we went through a period of time where the headlines were, you know, officers that, you know, depending on your position on the matters, were committing some transgressions.
Right.
And so, rightly so. So during that time, it felt a little less warm, but I do think that people understand that the majority of police officers are good and right and are there to uphold the law and truly put service above self. And so it is just a small percentage, as in any profession, you know, that tarnish our badge.
When I, as a parent, when I heard about the Parkland shootings, my heart dropped. You're in law enforcement. You have four kids. You have a kid in high school. What were you thinking?
The same. You know, I wear two hats. One is the police hat and the other is the parent hat. And they are interchangeable at times. And I was actually listening to your show right around that time when mothers were calling in, contemplating whether or not to send their kids to school because of threats that were happening in the area.
Right.
And same thing happened in Aurora. We had a threat at West Aurora High School, a threat at Aurora Christian School. And these are commonplace after a school shooting. And I had the same problem. I'm deliberating that, you know, on one hand, you know, I want to say we're not afraid and life has to go on and we're going to go back in there. And on the other hand, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to keep my kid home. But at any time we get a threat, as anywhere across the country, any school, any police department, we're going to, you know, step up our enforcement in the area. And so we did so after. But to answer your question, I mean, it's our hearts just drop. I mean,
right.
And it feels like, okay, how many more thoughts and prayers can go out, you know, before something happens? And it's devastating to all of us.
What do you think of the kids banding together? I mean, in Parkland, too, these kids are very vocal about, hey, we want to stick together. Just a camaraderie, almost kind of like a brotherhood within the police department. All the kids now students, because they're very well-spoken and well-versed, but all kind of sticking together. Are you seeing that, too?
Absolutely, and I'm a big fan of millennials. I mean, they get a bad rap sometimes, but
well,
you know, I think...
I have a lot of nieces and nephews. Yeah. They're all slackers. Yeah. Well, most of them.
No, and I do. I like the energy, and I wonder if this might be the tipping point. You know, maybe we're on the precipice of change, you know, when more and more voices come to the table.
What are your thoughts? You carry a gun every single day. I mean,
I
it's such a polarizing subject. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are for or against, and when they start talking about it, it turns into an argument. We just can't have a discussion about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've carried a gun since, you know, I mean, I've been a police officer since I was 21 years old. So for me, it's something that is commonplace. However, I'm trained. We train all the time with our firearm. And so I have to say, and I'll go, this is Kristen Zeman's personal opinion, is that, you know, the thought of arming everyone scares me. I mean, you know, my teacher couldn't work the projector. And I can't even imagine, you know, having a firearm on their side. So it makes me a little nervous. And when now more and more people conceal and carry have weapons, it puts the police officers in a challenging position to determine who's the bad guy and who's the good guy.
Right. I hope we continue this conversation.
I hope so, too. And I don't think we can get lackluster. Every time something like this happens, Kristen, I mean, even the other day with Central Michigan, you know, I heard comments, not from our newsroom, but just on the street. Oh, here we go again. Oh, another shooting. And we shouldn't become complacent.
It shouldn't be that way.
Be numb to it.
Right.
No, the minute we become numb, I mean, that's where we lose.
Absolutely.
My sister-in-law is a 30-year teacher in Wisconsin, and I asked her that. Would you ever carry a gun in school? And she said, absolutely not. I don't need money for guns. I need money for counseling.
Yeah,
I need programs to counsel these kids.
Truth. That's absolutely true. And there's enough that teachers have to deal with educators, you know, let alone now having to think about, you know, how to be proficient in a firearm. But you're absolutely right. You know, that money for firearms or firearm training should go towards mental health, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. Kristen Zeman in studio with us. She is Aurora's first female police chief. We're going to check traffic real quick, but I want to ask you about the kid that got arrested for posting something on social media. So we'll talk about that in just a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Aurora's very first female police chief, Kristen Zeman, in studio with us. Do you like when I say that, very first, or do you just want me to say police chief?
You know, I used to shy away from that and say, you know, hey, it's just, I'm a chief. You know, why does it have
to be? But it is a big deal.
You know, and actually, I've changed my position on that because I've come to realize, and it's something that I didn't have, so it, I don't know why it took me this long to realize it, but I didn't have many female mentors coming up in the profession. I had amazing male mentors. And so I was kind of shying away from it, though, and I thought, well, wait, you know, it's good to be a role model, and so many little girls have said, you know, I want to grow up and be a police officer, and I thought, you know, there's a responsibility there, so now I embrace it.
It's Women's History Month, too, and Chicago Police has a really cool campaign, the Rosie the Riveter
that
hashtag.
Is the Isn't coolest cool? thing ever.
Isn't
yes.
that neat?
So impressed with that. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
What do you say to young girls who are wanting to pursue a career in law enforcement?
Oh, I say go for it. I mean, it's largely been a male-dominated profession, but, I mean, you see more females in the military. We're still only at roughly 12% or 13% females in, you know, in first responders in the profession. So I would love to see more females. They're wonderful at the job. I mean, we bring a different set of skills to the table.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I'm as you can tell, I'm super buff.
Yeah, totally.
But I kid. So I've had to learn communication to talk people into handcuffs, and there is, you know, and that's served me very well over the years. And so, females and men are great communicators too. I mean, that's one of the things we need to, I think, do better at in our profession. So,
sure.
There was a story in the Tribune about a 15-year-old boy who was charged with disorderly conduct following a social media post threatening a violent act at West Aurora High School.
That is correct, yes. He actually posted as someone else. He took the identity of someone else and posted. And so we have a great relationship in our school districts with our superintendents and with the staff. And so it was I got a text message about it first thing in the first, right when they found it. Our detectives went to work and actually spent the entire night, in the middle of the night, trying to determine where that Facebook post was made. They obviously first went to the house of the kid who they thought it was. And as it turned out, it wasn't him, and so they were able to work with private entities, you know, AT&T, and find out where that actually came from. So he was charged with the false threat.
You have four kids. You got a kid in high school. I have a seventh grader. I talk to him about social media all the time, even though he's not on anything. I'm just like, Charlie, you gotta, you know, wait a beat before you post anything and ask us if you have a question. Parents need to talk to their kids.
Absolutely. I mean, social media is a blessing and a curse. It's a great way for people to connect. I mean, it makes the world flatter, you know, so you get to meet more people from, you know, places that you've never, you know, never met or even been. However, there is such a dark side to social media, and we have found, even in law enforcement, the way that crime used to be committed is you know, the old-fashioned way, you know, and now there are fights starting on, they originate on social media,
right,
and then that manifests into, you know, physical fighting or even, you know, shootings. So you have, you know, gang members that are posting, and it's just a cesspool of darkness at times. But as far as the common, you know, kid who's not involved in you know, not in any trouble, you know, you have to talk to your kids about what you post, and that will follow you forever. And as a mother of now my last kid and their college applications, you know, that's all monitored. They back at that, and so I say, you post something stupid,
sure,
and that could be, you know, the decision at a university that you're trying to get into, you know, so you just have to be smart about it. And what the rule is if you're going to post something, make sure that it's something that your mom can see,
right,
or that if it
or
was on the 5 o'clock news.
What's the rush? Sure. Why do you have to post something right away?
Yeah.
How challenging does social media make your job nowadays, though, either with blind threats or cybersecurity? Because, I mean,
absolutely. I mean, you talk about, you know, let's just use drugs as an example. And there used to be open air drug markets. If I was going to sell you drugs, this was my corner, and you would pull up. And you know, we would make our exchange, or, you know, I'm oversimplifying it, but, you know, now everything is handled over encrypted channels. Yep. And so we're one step behind. And then once we finally catch up to the technology, then there's something that we can't get into. So a lot of those exchanges and that communication is handled behind the scenes, which makes things very unpredictable for the police.
Boy, Darlis is right. You're a rock star.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, thank you for coming
in. Thanks, Darlis.
You bet.
She's the police chief.
Of one.
Police Chief in Aurora, you want to say hello? They're probably listening
I
at the
do.
Station,
I'll give
right?
a shout out to A-Town. Yeah, we have second largest city in Illinois, almost 300 sworn officers, and they are amazing servant hearts and warrior spirits.
Kristen Zeman, thank you for coming in. Very nice to meet you.
Thanks.
It's 720 WGN.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all better, faster, stronger.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9:12, we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back on Friday. He's golfing this week, taking some time off. Wish I was golfing.
Yeah,
that'd be nice,
Dave. Both, buddy.
How's your flexibility, Mr. Innit?
My flexibility is not great.
Okay.
I don't bend in certain ways.
You don't bend in certain ways. Sandberg, you take yoga almost every day.
I do, like 5 days a week.
I hate you for that. In studio with us, the owners of Fuel Mind to Body Yoga Studio in Glenview. It's Heidi Burnover and Holly McGregor. Sisters, thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
Great to be here.
How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Pumped and ready for the day.
I know you have your kids in the background. They're on TV. It's not a big deal. It's
We're
okay.
Great.
We all have kids. We get it. They talk. It happens.
Actually, they've enlisted Harrison is doing a Facebook Live for them. So.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, social media manager.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I first took yoga about 2 years ago because I have no flexibility. And I unfortunately took the hot yoga, and it was 140 degrees.
Perfect.
I don't understand why it has to be so hot. Why do they do that?
Well, the heat's there to actually help you. We love to say that in Bikram yoga, you can't bend cold steel. So when your body's nice and warmed up, that's when you're going to get the flexibility. But even more importantly, some would argue than the flexibility, is the improved circulation in your body. So there's the vasodilation, the opening of the arteries, and improving the circulation and delivery of oxygen deeper into your joints, your tissues, muscles. Those are the things that just make you feel awesome when you walk out of the room.
And Heidi, what is it Bikram yoga?
Bikram yoga.
Bikram. What is it?
So Bikram yoga is a series of 26 postures that we do in every single class the same way every single time. And each posture builds on what you've already done and gets your body ready for what's coming up next. Okay. So you improve your strength and your flexibility.
There's guys listening right now thinking that there's no way I'm going to take a yoga class. But Sandberg, you take it every day and you swear by it.
I do. It's 90 minutes. It's a game changer. I started taking it like 10 years ago because I was one of those people that would run 6 or 7 miles a day with not doing anything else to actually heal my body. And everything started hurting. And so my sister said, you have to try this Bikram class because it gives you the same feeling as doing a run. You sweat like crazy, but you actually feel better after as opposed to feeling like your legs are going to fall off. So
what if you have no flexibility?
You don't have to. I think that's so funny when people say they can't go to yoga because they're not flexible. Well, how do you think you're going to get flexible, first of all? And it isn't even, I think, just about flexibility. It's about strength and balance the breathing alone. They always say, like, if you go there and for the 90 minutes, just do the breathing, it's like you did everything.
But it's the intimidation of walking into your first yoga class, mm-hmm. because I've experienced it. I've taken a few classes, and I love it, but I just can't sit there for an hour and bend my body. I get kind of bored.
This is 90 minutes.
90 minutes?
Do you do 90 minutes every day?
Like 4 or 5 days, yeah.
Wow.
It's 90
That's
minutes,
awesome.
And it's 105 degrees. So it's
warm. So you
got
to drink, and they always say you have to drink a lot of water.
You have to drink a lot of water before you get there.
Yeah.
And what do you say at the end? Namaste. What
is namaste.
Namaste.
Some teachers say namaste.
Okay, namaste. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
The light and love within me bows to the light and love within you.
Well, thank you for that.
The nice thing about the Bikram is because I also do like vinyasa flow yoga, which is where you move around and stuff. And those classes are different every single time. So if you're confused or easily confused, or like my husband is bad with right and left cues, like in going up and down, and he likes to watch.
Yep.
The Bikram is you stay in the same spot, you face the same way.
Okay.
So, like, if you go multiple times, you can build up. You're like, okay, I know what's coming next. You know, you have an idea. So you shouldn't be so intimidated every class they say is right. It's a beginner class, you call. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, a lot of type A personalities actually really like this yoga because we take out the decision-making factor once you're in the room. So you know what to expect and you can turn off certain parts of your mind and really focus more inwardly on you. So then you get a stillness and clarity. So then your decision-making becomes better outside of the room. You're more efficient and more productive in your job. We see people's job performance go way up with a regular Bikram practice.
And your sleep.
You two are sisters. Yeah. Did you grow up doing yoga?
Not so much.
Not so much. When did you guys get into it? Because you had real jobs, right, Heidi?
Yes. I was...
I'm not saying that owning a yoga studio is not a real job. I mean, you did the grind, okay? You weren't owners.
Right,
okay.
Right. I was running marathons and kind of stumbled into a yoga class at my gym, and it was great. For what I knew. And then I started doing some vinyasa classes in a studio, which, like you said, is a game changer, going to a studio instead of yoga at your gym. And then I had hernia surgery, and my vinyasa teacher actually recommended Bikram yoga because of the therapeutic and healing benefits. And that was it. I went to my first class and just kept right on going.
So you call up your sister and say, hey, I got a great idea.
Yeah, it took some convincing to get her to go to her first class because she wanted to go to the gym and burn calories and do this. And she said, no, this isn't just, sit and light candles and incense, and which is all well and good, but it's just not what we do.
And little sisters around the world can empathize with me being told what to do by your big sister. It took some time before I actually went into the room.
Because we don't want to listen to our siblings.
Yeah, yeah. And so another friend in Manhattan convinced me to go. 7:30 on a Wednesday night, I was working 70 hours a week, and I just said, I can go to a 7:30 p.m. workout class. I've got to do something to take care of myself. And the stress of my job was eating away at my body, literally. And I went five times the first week. That was March 2006, and I never stopped.
Wow. God, that's great. How do you get to that relaxed state? Because I feel like my mind is always racing. I think people have that problem.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, I'm not going to lie. People come in, it's hot, you're sweating, you're trying to figure out what is going on around you. These people are crazy. But after a few classes, you get your breath under control. You have proof. Every class is evidence. You made it. You can do this.
Right.
And so then you start to quiet your mind because you know what to expect one class after the other. And then you can just work on practicing your own skills and getting better and better at the postures, at the stillness. We even practice relaxing. So you can relax in an instant outside of the room. If you've got 5 minutes to rest on a weekend day, you can go say, hey, I'm going to shut down for 5 minutes. And you go, you relax, and you come back and you're recharged and ready for the rest of your day.
Robin Roberts said something on GMA where she can do just that. She learned it in a yoga class, then she started taking meditation. And when she's in a stressful environment, or if something happens, or if there's a stressful news story, she goes to that state. So you have to teach yourself to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. We do... We have short savasanas, which is a break where you lay in stillness between some of the postures in the floor series. So you have 20 seconds to relax. And we say a complete intensity into complete relaxation in a split second. So you're giving it all you've got in this pose, this yoga pose, stretching or kicking your leg or whatever it is, and then you've got to just stop everything and be totally still. So you're teaching your mind and body to connect. Your mind says to stop, your body stops, and that's how you achieve it. And then every time you get better and better at it.
God.
And I think also it's important to note about these poses. Like sometimes they always say it's a practice. It's not like yoga perfect.
Well, of course.
There's some poses, as long as I've been practicing, that I can't do to the full expression. And I probably won't ever be able to. That doesn't mean I'm not doing the yoga. Yeah.
Right.
I used to do them sometimes, make myself do them all the way, and I'd cheat it and. not do it best for my body. And
we should marry them right here.
Right. I know.
Don't tell them that you're cheating.
She's a superstar. Yeah. Don't let her fool you.
Do you know that, Dave? That you're shaking your head.
That's what I was wondering is if you have a particular injury, for instance, and there's a pose that is just too painful, how much modification do you allow for?
We ask our students to come and tell us what's going on with them, and regularly we know what's up with our students and their bodies and the injury, whether it be a surgery 5 years ago or whether it be something new that happened this week. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're doing this for life, life happens. You're going to get injured outside of the room and various things. So we encourage our students in Bikram yoga, you do as much of a posture as you can 100% the right way. So even if you're only doing 10% of the posture, we look at the person's body and what the injury is and figure out how they can still get the benefit of the posture while keeping themselves comfortable enough. You know, sometimes pain is telling us that something's happening. Other times pain is not good. It's telling us to stop. So thank goodness we have pain. And so we really work on just making sure that we can help our students get the benefit of each and every posture, because everyone has a unique benefit. It's very special.
Okay, when are we going, Pete?
We'll talk about that after the break. Holly McGregor and Heidi Bernover in studio. Fuel Mind to Body, the yoga studio in Glenview. What's the website people can go to?
FuelYogaPilates.com.
Okay, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you how people that are listening right now can get started. That awesome. First step.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, mama, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
925 in studio with us, the owners of Fuel Mind to Body Yoga Studio in Glenview, Heidi Bernover and Holly McGregor. We talked before the break about getting started. What's the first step? Let's start with Heidi. If you could give someone advice, because people are intimidated. I know women are, but I feel like men are very intimidated by yoga.
Sure. You know, it's funny and it sounds so simple, but truly the first step is walking in the door. And I know
90%, isn't it? 90%
really
is walking in the door.
It really is. I mean, our staff, our team, our students, our community is so amazing. People constantly comment on when they walk in that they just feel so welcome. People are so happy to see you. They're so glad you're here. And truthfully, for every person that walks through the door, we're so happy that they're making a commitment to themselves,
right,
to take care of themselves, to feel good and to be healthy and strong.
What can they expect? Everybody wants the visual, or every yoga class, I think, is different, right?
Sure, sure. One of the things I think people are surprised about is the variety of people that come to class. You know, part of the intimidation factor is you think everyone's going to be super flexible and doing all this crazy stuff. And truly, it's everyone just coming in, working at their best in that moment, in that day.
Work at your own pace.
Exactly.
You don't have to keep up.
Right, exactly. We encourage people to go at their own pace, to take a break anytime they need to. And part of taking care of yourself is recognizing when you need a break, too. It's not always just pushing and going as hard as you can, as often as you can.
I was getting some tips. You know, I know traffic makes a lot of us crazy, and you gave me some wonderful, you know, just a very quick little breathing exercise that you can do to just calm yourself down in the moment. You know?
Anecdotally, we have a student whose daughter, unfortunately, was in an accident one time, and she was rushing to that scene. And she said, thank God I had my yoga, because I sat there with my hands on the wheel, and I knew how to keep my body calm going there so that I could make the right decisions and be present once I got there, as opposed to, you know, just letting the panic in the body take over.
How do you do that? Can you give me the 20-second version?
Yeah, well, so
how to calm it down?
Absolutely. So at the beginning of class, we do something called pranayama breathing, which is a deep inhale for 6 counts, deep exhale for 6 counts. I can demo it to you on a break. The one I was mentioning, another one that I've just learned personally, is to inhale for 4 counts, hold for 7, and exhale for 8. And that would be with your 2 feet on the floor, planted on the floor, to help you stay grounded.
Right.
And people say that that's like taking a Xanax to stay calm. That's the effect that it would have on your body.
Okay. And Harrison, you take hot Pilates.
Yeah, I do.
How old are you, first of all?
10.
10. How come you're not in school?
Because I had to come with my mom to the radio station today.
I like that. Is that a good mom?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They also brought little sister Hayden here.
Hayden's in the back.
Yep.
I like it.
She's wearing a t-shirt that says Girls Are the Future.
What is hot Pilates?
Inferno Hot Pilates is a high-intensity interval training, and it's also low impact. The low impact means it's gentle on your joints, so we're not doing things like jumping or running. The high intensity interval training part helps you to burn calories after the 60-minute class. We use Pilates principles, working on your mat. Joseph Pilates actually originally had his first poses and stretches on a mat without machines. And we go back to some of the Pilates principles to make sure that we're taking care of the body, creating long, lean muscles, equal development of the muscles, working from the core out and using control. The Pilates practitioners love it because after just a few classes in a week, you literally look in the mirror and you see results.
Well, sometimes you can't walk right after, or your abs are really sore.
It's all about the core, Sandberg.
Yeah, do some bridges and your butt is.
I'm going to do burpees.
I'm going to do some during commercials.
It's a half burpee without the jump.
Oh, without
so we get
the
that
jump.
In.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So the half burpee. You can still get the burpee in without.
So you're doing the push up and you're.
Yeah,
but it's
push up, stand up, back down.
It'd be a good class for Pete because there's a lot of music and hooting and hollering going on.
I love it.
And
that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Keep the energy going.
Yeah, and the other thing with the Pilates is we use the Tabata principles. So you're going 20 seconds as hard as you can go.
I love it. I take Tabata classes.
And the 10-second break is enough to feel like you can catch a few breaths and slow down a little bit, but your heart rate's still going. You're still burning calories. You're still working on your resting metabolic rate, so you're still keeping it moving.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. What's the website again people can go to?
FuelYogaPilates.com. And if you go in and use promo code WGN, you can get $10 off your intro month. That'll be there in just a couple hours. So you can do $39 for a whole month of unlimited classes at our place. FuelYogaPilates.com.
Heidi and
I'll link it on our Facebook so
you got
people
it.
Can find
Thanks
it.
For coming in.
Yeah, so
Harrison,
great to be here.
Harrison, do you have to go to school now?
Yeah.
Bummer. Shoot. Maybe you can stick around with me. You can kind of shadow me for another half hour. Is that cool?
Hang out for a little while.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, I hitchhiked from Chicago, and a man walked up and said, this is a union town, all down the line.
941, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Local 150 is a campaign called the Fight Back Fund. The Fight Back Fund was created for all union workers, not just Local 150, for fairness, opportunity, equal pay for women, people with disabilities, veterans, and more. And joining us in studio is a veteran, Laura Asher. It's great to see you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
I've read your story. I can't wait to hear all about it. You're going to be honored at the Hawks game tonight.
I am. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
First of all, thank you for your service. Where'd you serve?
I served overseas in Iraq for a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was stationed in California for a couple of years. And
you have a crazy story because you got out of the service and all of a sudden reality hit, and you had nothing.
I did. It was a culture shock, to be sure.
Because you lost the security of being in the service, right?
It's a family, and that's what I had been searching for, is a career that offered a family as well, because that's what the military offers.
Right, right.
And you don't get that everywhere you go.
So what happened? What were the steps that you were... Well, first of all, you were lonely. You didn't know what to do. So what did you do?
I worked in the medical field for a little while. I didn't have the civilian accreditation that I earned in the military to work in the hospitals and do the jobs that I was doing in the military. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I was going to need to look for a new career path. And my dad is a local 150 operator for 46 years.
Love it. Union guy. Fantastic.
Yeah. I was familiar with the union growing up and realized that this was the career path that I was meant to walk down.
Now, did they have the program at the time, or did they start it after you joined the union? How did that work?
The Helmets to Hard Hat program.
Yep.
They had started that, I would say, a couple years before I joined, but it was still relatively new.
Okay.
And offering veterans this career path was special. It's a special thing for veterans to know that, because not a lot of welcoming homecomings for lots of veterans.
We've talked to hundreds of veterans on this show. It's very hard for all vets. Even if they come home to a job, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. It is. So to be welcomed into a career path that gives you a living wage, that provides for you and gives you the opportunity to provide for your family is, you know, above par.
My dad was a Vietnam era vet, and he said what he saw before he passed away a couple years ago. But he said now more than ever, and we asked the police chief of Aurora this earlier too, more people are saying thank you, and as they should. Are you getting that too more now? I mean, because I know we say thank you for your service. But
I am. There's a better reception now, I think, than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As there should be. You know, absolutely. So, well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thanks.
Tell me about once you joined the union. Okay, you joined, you finally got there, you joined the union, your father urged you to do it, and you get in and you're like, okay, what do I do now? Or did you know, did they put you on a path?
Well, I was in the apprenticeship program, so they do put you on a path. You are working and earning a living while you're actually going to school and getting certifications on different machines and deciding which area you are a best fit.
You're a crane operator, is that right?
I am. I am a crane operator. So I just got my certification last year.
Did they put you in a tower crane?
I have been in a tower crane.
Are you afraid of heights?
I don't love them.
That's a great question.
Well, I'm reading your story and I'm thinking, I don't know if I could get in a tower crane.
Well, you better take a bathroom break before you go up there.
And I wondered about that, too. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
No cell phones allowed up there, right? Like, well, no selfies.
Yeah. Yes, you have to focus completely.
Totally. Yeah, right.
So your first day in a tower crane, what are you thinking?
Is it supposed to move this much?
Because you have the wind, you're alone in that seat.
Yes, there's definitely... you know, some getting used to involved. And I don't think any class will really prepare you for that. You've got to get in there. You got to get in the seat.
Wow. And it's second nature now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
for
you say.
For you. Yeah, for us, we'd go, oh.
Well, come on up. Let's go.
Wow. Thank you so much for coming in. So people go to the Hawks game tonight or they're watching on TV, they're going to see you.
Yeah, they will.
And
my family.
Do you get to meet Jim Cornelison tonight?
I'm so excited about that. Jim's amazing.
He's awesome. Oh, he's you're going to have chills.
One of the best. A friend of WGN forever. He's just a great guy. And when he shakes your hand, he's got a huge hand. I mean, it's like, you know,
bear paw.
It's like a claw. It really is. Fightbackwithus.com is the website if people want to check it out. And before you go, there's vets listening right now. What advice would you give them if they're looking for work or if they were like you when you came out of the service?
Look us up. Look up Local 150. Local 150 honors their veterans and treats them with a respect that you don't find in other areas.
Which is the way it should be.
Which is the way it should be. Right. And it feels good to be a part of a family and have a backing that supports you. It's what most employers are missing.
Local 150 Fight Back Fund. You can go to fightbackwithus.com. Laura Asher, great to see you.
Thank you.
It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
9:51, we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Our next guest is the host of NBC Nightly News that airs weeknights at 5:30 on NBC5. He's also the host of Dateline, which we watch religiously at the McMurray household. And if you notice that, Lester Holt likes to take off the jacket and do the vest for Dateline NBC. It's Lester Holt. How are you, sir?
I'm well. That's what I do with all the extra fabric from my suits. I make them into vests.
You need to ask my wife because I look at your suits. I watch almost every single night. You have the perfect tailor and the perfect suits.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I will alert the guy that helps me out. Thank you.
He's got a guy. You just got back from
got a guy.
Yeah, you just got back from the Olympics. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. This is my ninth Olympics. And for some reason, the timing worked out in my schedule that I was able to see, you know, personally witness more events than I have in the past. I had a ball. It was a little cold, but it was a great Olympics.
I saw the segment that you did. Was it the bobsled that you got in?
Well, I did a story on the American bobsled team, and in the telling of that, I wove in the fact that I rode with the American bobsled team back in 2010 ahead of the Vancouver Olympics. So we ran just a short clip of that with just a second of me screaming. It was the screaming actually went for the entire ride down.
He was screaming like a fifth grade girl. Seriously,
right? Hey, Lester. Aside from screaming, what do they do? I was just curious. I know the driver drives, but are the other three bobsledders, are they just hanging on, or do they have a little other responsibilities in that sled?
Well, in the four-man, one of them, so you got the pilot, they call him, the driver, and then there's the brakeman. I'm not sure what the other two guys do, to be honest with you. I think they're all about the push, because a lot of these races are going to be won or lost on that push. You know, when they run and then they jump in, that's a big choreographed thing. So I think it's a part of it. Their job is just to get this thing rocketing down the course.
Are they wearing cleats or some type of spikes on their shoes?
Yeah, there's some kind of a cleat so that obviously they don't slip on the ice. But there's a whole thing of the order that they jump in, and then they tuck down, and then there's a push bar that has to be tucked in. All this has to happen within a few split seconds.
Did you have any desire to try the skeleton?
No, the whole idea of sliding down that track, I don't think that's anything I will do again. There is a... you know, when I was the number two man in the four man, and so your head is totally ducked down, so you see nothing. So it's just this constant roar of the ice, and then the G's of this, you know, the sled making these turns. So you have no sense of where you are, if this will ever end, because it feels like it goes on forever.
Forget it.
I mean, you're literally just hanging on for a ride. It actually felt to me like we were going down a mountain vertically, just a straight drop. And I kept waiting for this giant crash that never came, but it's cool to say I did it.
Right. Never again.
But I'll move on to other adventures.
And did you get the flu on the way back? Because you were sick for a few days, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly where I got it, but I got back on a Saturday night, and Monday night I started feeling the first sign something was wrong, and then Tuesday I was down for the count with the flu. But, as we had been reporting, you know, the doctor said if you had the shot, it shortened the duration and intensity, and between that and getting on the Tamiflu right away, I was only, you know, the worst of it was over in about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of lingers. It's no fun. Fortunately, as we've been reporting, we're on the other side of this thing now. I mean, people are still getting sick, but I think at this point, all of us know someone. We've either been sick or we know someone who's been
right.
sick.
I saw the picture of you and your dog on Instagram. That's why I asked that. You were down for the count.
Yeah, it was my wife. My wife says, "God, you look pitiful." I said, "Well, take a shot, because you know, it's, I'm not in the sick bed very often." So the dog crawled up with me, and that was the height of my feeling sorry for myself moment. Laying there in bed.
I was buying a guitar for a silent auction in December to get signed, and I walked into the Music Exchange on Lincoln Avenue, and I looked down on their coffee table, and Guitar Aficionado magazine was on the table, and you were on the cover.
That was kind of cool, huh?
Yes,
that is cool.
And you playing you play in a band.
I do, yeah. It's made up of fellow NBCers. Most of them work as editors for Dateline, and because they're editors, we call the group the Rough Cuts. But we do a lot of rock and roll and pop covers, and we occasionally play gigs here in town. And it's kind of my alter ego. I'll tell you a funny story about that magazine, though. I was going to buy a copy of it. I was with a colleague, and I wanted to show him. I said, let's go in the store here in the terminal and buy a copy of the magazine. And I said, watch, this lady will never look up. And sure enough, you know, she's processing the thing, and I'm right there at the cover, and she never looks up and makes the connection. But
did you hold up the magazine for her? Hey, I'm this guy right here.
Part of me said, hey, you want to take a look? But no, she was busy trying to sell me another bottle of water.
And
you know how they do that now at the airport?
Oh, yeah. It's only $15. You can add that on your bill.
After they took your other one at TSA, right?
Right. When does your band play? Don't you have a gig coming up?
Yeah, we have a gig coming up in late April. It's an event that's tied to the White House Correspondents' Dinner that they have every year. Former keyboardist for Rolling Stones kind of sponsors this thing, and a lot of the bands are kind of media-oriented bands. Steve Leisman from CNBC, he's got a band that's playing, and it's a legit event. It happens every year, so we feel like we've kind of, you know, we've been joking around like, well, we're our first road trip, man. Maybe we need one of those fancy buses with the artwork on the side of it. But we'll be lucky if we can score some cheap Amtrak tickets.
And Stefan, his wife just had a baby. You're a grandfather. How is he doing?
Yeah, six months ago. They're doing great. Spent a good part of the weekend with them. It's fun being a granddad. He's doing these little, movies on Instagram now?
Oh, yeah. I follow him.
Yeah, and he's a great dad. I think that's one of the cool things about being a grandparent is you're like, okay, how are my kids going to do? But he's a terrific dad. And
what's a grandchild going to call Lester Holt? Grandpa, or is there like a special name?
Right now, I'm just kidding. But I'm hoping we can work that into Granddude.
Because he's in a rock band,
right?
Yeah, my daughter-in-law, she's very organized, she's a real planner, and when she announced she was pregnant, she says, well, what do you guys want to be called? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not shying away from being a granddad, I'm old enough, but I also wanted to kind of some bow to the fact that, you know, I'm somewhat modern, so I said, how about Granddude? That's a big mouthful for a six-month-old.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know.
Let me know if that sticks. I like that.
You know what? The fact is, he can call me anything. You know, you melt either way. So,
Say hello to Stefan for me, will you, please?
I sure will. You know, it's fun working. We work in the same building.
Right.
So, like, yesterday, I'm walking to the elevator and look up. I'm like, hey, Steph, it's really kind of cool.
Nice. You can check him out tonight on the Nightly News. Lester Holt. Thanks for joining us, Lester.
Anytime, Pete.
All right. Take care.
Granddude. I like that. That's
I think that's
good.
What Spike Odell's
really?
Grandkids call. It's either he calls his grandkids Granddudes or they call him Granddude.
Granddude.
Yeah.
All right. Quick break. Bill and Wendy coming up next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are in studio. It's great to see you guys.
Hi, Pete. It's equally as nice to see you.
Nice. What do we have today?
Noise.
Well,
what happened to the sun? The sun was out, right?
Sun is gone.
It's gone. You guys walk in and
no more sun.
It'll come out tomorrow.
Sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar, Pete. Well, as you know, it's Lobster Fest, so we'll talk about that.
What?
You got lobsters here?
No, we just talk about Lobster Fest.
Wendy's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have any guests scheduled about it, but it certainly bears some discussion.
I did work at a fish market in college, if you need a
go-to. Did you?
Yeah, Dixon's Fish Market in Peoria.
Yeah, and we can still tell.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Steve Bertrand is back.
He's saying
the
like
fury.
Fish. Wow.
I thought Bertrand was going to ease back in.
No,
jump right on me.
Where's the deep end? I'm jumping in.
Better you than me, though, McMurray.
Right.
Buddy. Butter.
Hey, butter. Guys, have a great
show. You used to say, hey, butter back then.
Hey, butter.
Hey, butter.
Hey, butter.
We think you smell good.
Hey, butter. Are you finished?
I'm done.
Great job.
Go ahead.